using science to debunk myths, from the pandemic to climate fraud. Thanks for listening to Sky Dragon Slaying on TNT Radio.
Hi, welcome to Sky Dragon Slaying, where you get to hear topical conversations on science and technology matters the mainstream media would rather you didn't know. I'm Gianna Sullivan, CEO of Principia Scientific International. With me are my usual co-host, Texan Engineer Extraordinaire, Joe Olson, and from the University of Calgary, space scientist Joe Posner. In this episode, we're delighted to have with us Canadian psychologist, Dr. Elsa Scheider. Elsa was for many years a tenured humanities professor at John Abbott College. She's taught in six departments at university and college level, including humanities, education, English, film studies, women's studies, and sociology. Elsa has a strong interest in truth, and she runs her blog, www.truthsummit.info. Hi, Elsa. How are you today?
I'm really well and delighted to be here, John. And Joe.
Yeah, great to have you here. You've got some weather issues down there, haven't you, up in near Montreal, Canada?
Yes, I've twice had a flicker, and if I suddenly disappear, it is not like bad temper. It is a power surge that knocks out power in part of my area. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed. The rain is pouring in sheets.
Yeah, we'll keep our fingers crossed for you, Elsa. Yeah, you've been in the truth movement a very long time, you know, maybe longer than us. You know, you've been around the block. You've interviewed some very well-known people. Some people may not know the guy, Tommy Robinson, UK activist who's done amazing work in the UK exposing criminal activities of paedophiles, especially in the Islamic community. You know, it's people like that that you're very interested in. You like to get to the truth. And to be fair, you're really kind of ruffling feathers, aren't you? You're a going against the mainstream narrative. You're somebody who is not afraid of saying things that you know, a lot of the woke culture would find very unpopular. So, you know, what is it you're really after? What motivates you to do all this?
I think ever since childhood, I've been curious, and I really wanted to know what's the answer. So I remember, like in grade 7, I learned about the Russian Revolution and the French Revolution. They were fantastic. I thought they were marvelous. And they were both huge disasters. What happened? I wanted the truth, and no one could give it to me. And then the other thing, when a question is there, I just sink my teeth into it, but I may let it go for years and come back to it. So now I've learned about communism. That's the Russian Revolution and French Revolution, the lack of checks and balances. I love the truth. I also really care about people. And that goes back even further. My parents were new immigrants when I was in grade 1 and I could barely speak any English. And the teacher said, hungry children, Red Cross, 10 cents. And so I went home to my dad, who's earned 45 cents an hour. And I said, hungry children, Red Cross, 10 cents. Mm-hmm. And I got it. So my whole family has a human rights thing. And that, considering what's going on, I care about it. So yeah. Is that enough about me? I think so.
Yeah, one of the things you've done is you've interviewed me, and I'm very, very pleased to say that, you know, and not just me, but Joe Olson and other people connected with Principia Scientific. And it's really interesting because you come at us with a very straightforward question, and your question basically is, who are you? And, mm-hmm. you know, you put that to me, and I found that very direct, and I like your directness. So, you know, you're doing more of these interviews, aren't you? I think you planned to do a few more.
Well, yes, I would like to do Tommy Robinson again. He is an amazing human being. I really like what I call truth warriors, and I liked people who were into doing amazing things that they wanted to do even as a child. And so you, in fact, intrigued me with Principia Scientific, and I therefore asked, could I interview you? In other words, what got you to do that? And so that's where my who are you? I think it's one of the most fundamental questions. What do you do is one fundamental question. What are you revealing is very, very critical. But the other thing is, look at all the people around who are not doing it. So who are you? What got you to do it? Maybe that'll get us both. You can be an example to people. But the other thing is, maybe there's something that we can learn from you that we could use for other people. So yes, I am. And you know what? I think what makes me direct as well is that I've been a reader. And I've been a reader of biographies, so it never occurred to me that living human beings might not like being asked the same kind of direct question. That, like, if you read a biography, that's the direct question. Who is that person?
Yeah, and you are, but you're very good. You're very personable. And when we did our interview, you drew things out of me that I haven't made public before. You delved into my childhood, what motivated me. I had a very difficult childhood. My father was very abusive. And from a very young age, I kind of learned that I had to toughen up and I had to face the fact that the world is not an easy place to be in. And, you know, you were talking to me about how did that affect my work. And I talked about, you know, my very unusual life where I had my very severe trials with the criminal justice system. And, you know, I went through a very, very harrowing trial, criminal trial, where I was acquitted, completely exonerated, but triggered my interest in government corruption. And yeah, and it's been spurring me on for many, many years. It's amazing. Also, colleagues, when I speak to them, they've often had similar things happen to them where something in their life has triggered their interest in getting to the truth, some family crisis or other.
I think I was born with it.
You were born with it?
You know, like I was born with that kind of curiosity, but then I got it from my father, who read the encyclopedia for fun. He had education only till age 14, then he had to leave school as an apprentice, but he never stopped a passion for learning. So, I mean, I got it at home. And then in terms of my interviews, one thing I really, I know I made it clear to you, if there's anything you say and you don't want me to make it public, you will listen to it first. If you don't like it, I'll cut it. I'm in no way out to make someone uncomfortable or to reveal the truth they don't want to make public. I'm into, this is someone I admire, or I wouldn't bother interviewing them. It would be a waste of my time. And then at that point, I am not out to hurt that person. I'm out, though, if they're willing to say it, like you were willing. In fact, I was surprised at all you said in the interview. And I asked you, are you comfortable with it? And you said, yes. So I like to have a trusting relationship. In other words, you can trust me that I will be on your side.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing I think we both are very aware of is when you're in the so-called truth movement, like we are, you know, you're going to be an object of attack from the mainstream. You know that if you say anything counter to the narrative, they'll mainstream resort to the old fashioned Alinsky tactics, where they try to assassinate your character rather than attack you on your arguments. Mm-hmm. If you're putting forward an argument like I was on the scientific side, rather than address and debate you scientifically, they'll go for your character. They'll try and dig up dirt on you and discredit you personally. And I'm sure you found that when you've interviewed other people from the truth movement.
I've also found that many of us have fairly thick skins, or things bounce off. So, for example, if you want to know a controversial thing I did a video. This is now 10 years ago. Proud, white pride, proud to be white. It's so important not to only denigrate whites. Whites have done all kinds of fantastic things. And in fact, I did that video because I heard somebody who was a Tai Chi master in the UK, an older man, mention that. And I went, wow, he dares mention that on radio. Amazing. So I did my video. And yes, I got some nasty comments, but it was like, so what? Go jump in a lake. Yeah, don't make the lake dirty. So I think I've gotten from a lot of people that if they didn't start out with thick skins, at some point we develop a community, a sense of connection with like-minded people, and that that's what counts. I don't know, is that the case for you as well?
Yeah, yeah. And I'd like to bring in Joe Olson. Joe Olson, you were also interviewed by Elsa, and you know, your impression, I'm sure, was similar to mine, that you had an opportunity to engage with a fellow truther. What have you got to say to that, Joe?
I'm having a little bit of a signal problem. I'm driving around trying to find a better signal. So repeat that.
Right. Yeah. You did your interview also with Elsa, didn't you, Joe? You did an interview about a year or so ago with Elsa. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Yeah. And you found that a very good experience. You enjoyed that?
Well, it was highly edited. We ended up talking quite a bit. So we had like probably four or five Zoom conversations before she finally got enough material that she was happy with it. She really likes to probe very deeply. So, yeah. Which is, you know, one of the hallmarks of being a good researcher. So, and we were both happy with what happened, and we've stayed in touch. We have emails pretty regular, at least once or twice a week, and we have a lot of common interests. So, great. I'm just really sad for the situation that Canadians are in right now. It's heartbreaking.
It's worldwide.
Yeah, well, let's bring in Joe Posmer. You're a Canadian, University of Calgary. You know, what do you have to add to that? How things are, how bad are things in Canada for you?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty much the world over now. I mean, there's nothing specifically. I think we were all pretty similar, suffering the same sort of lockdowns and mandates. There was plenty of companies in the business or in the USA that were like businesses that were forcing vaccine mandates on their employees. And certainly that was happening here. And I mean, I was put off work with no pay for 2 months because of the university's mandate policy. And I'm still fighting that through the union. And it takes a lot of time. The union is really quite useless in the end. You know, it's rather absurd that a company can just decide that they're in charge of your health. It's like, that's not in my work contract. You know, like, I thought unions were supposed to protect me, but they really do nothing. At least mine is hardly doing nothing. It's not in my work contract anywhere that says that the university is responsible for my health, that the university is responsible for injecting me with vaccines, that the university makes medical choices for me. You know, it was never a mandate by the government that forced everyone to. It was just companies, and same within the U.S. companies, just mandating it individually on their own recognizance. I don't understand how that was legal. Anyway, that was being suffered all over the world. Yeah.
Yeah. For clarification, Joe Posner, so you're still not back at work yet?
No, I am back at work now. Yeah, I am.
Oh, you are.
I'm
back still, at work. Yeah,
that's right. So we're going to see if if we can get a reimbursement for that. Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe they'll just fire me. Who knows?
Well, yeah, fingers crossed. But I mean, from what I'm reading, from what I'm seeing around the world, the litigation is going forward very well in the UK. Mentioned a couple of episodes ago that. There's one high-profile lawyer here that's won 32 cases related to employment issues and so forth. So, you know, as you say, these mandates are actually unlawful. There is no basis in contract law for them. If your contract doesn't stipulate that you have to give over your rights for your health to your employer, then they have no right to do that. So, you know, impression is... Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, Elsa is a fellow Canadian. I mean, we do have a Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. I went and looked it up. The wording is very clear. You know, we have freedom of, it says that we have freedom of religion and conscience. So conscience is actually separate from religion. However, because of case law precedent, the lawyers have figured it out that, you know, because of whatever, I'm not sure what the precedents are, but obviously it's happened at some point. There's been cases brought to court and they have decided that conscience doesn't actually count. Individual conscience doesn't actually count. You have to have a religion. And the conscience statement in our Bill of Rights and Freedoms is actually completely defunct. It's still there, but it's completely meaningless. You have to belong to a group, and then not just any group. It has to be an officially recognized group, right? So you can't just say, well, I'm religious and it's my religion. You know, they want, you know, documentation and all this other stuff for it. Right. In the case with the university, then what the other business were doing is they would say, oh, we'll give you a religious exemption. And so you fill out the paperwork. Okay, here's my paperwork. I'm asking, you know, I'm submitting the paperwork for a religious exemption. And then they don't accept it. And that's what happened to me. I filled it out and they didn't accept it. And I was like, why don't you accept it? They're like, well, we're not going to tell you the answer to that, but we have it. And I'm like, well, what are the criteria for having it be accepted? Because you've told me, you know, and this happened to so many other people around the world. They're telling us that we can get religious exemption by filling out the paperwork. So we do that and it's rejected. So what exactly is the criteria? You see how psychologically, it's harassment in a sense, right? They're saying they'll give you something. Here's the paperwork. So you fill it out and they deny it. You ask them why and they won't tell you what the criteria is. So that's what they do. They say you have religious exemption. So anyway, we basically have no real charter. Awesome. Freedom. Yeah. It ends up that
What we're going to do, Joe, we're going to take a little break now. We'll be back after the advertisement.
You should hear what George Eliason is talking about.
What would have happened in Donbass if Russia hesitated or waited a few days longer to start the military action?
We would not have an opportunity to talk right now. And for that moment, there would be many people would die. They would be killed by Ukrainian army.
Now, if Russia had to respond to that kind of attack instead of stopping it ahead of time, what would have been the outcome for Donbas?
So now what we see now is really the answer of Russia to what Ukraine had been done for 8 years. As we always say, Ukraine unleashed the war and was using the banned means and methods of warfare.
Aggression
towards their own people.
George Eliason on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Hey everyone, TNT presenter Misty Winston here. As you may already know, journalist and publisher Julian Assange is facing extradition and 175 years in prison for doing what journalists all over the world do every day. This case represents the most dangerous threat to press freedom in history. The case now sits in the hands of UK Home Secretary Priti Patel. Please contact her office and encourage her to do the right thing and refuse the extradition request. This case will forever change the future of press freedom. We can't afford to lose.
Messages for Shana, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
TMT. I'm tired of it.
I don't know where to begin.
Everybody's tired of it.
TMT.
I call it the oh my God virus.
Why do we give them the power?
Absolutely stupid.
Of course, it's ridiculous.
And it just goes along with everything else.
For them to actually mandate a vaccine.
Get the straight talk from us.
Time for us to be bold and be strong.
TMT.
And I wanted to thank you for that.
Telling the truth is the only mandate we believe in.
When you get into the facts and logic and reason thing, it drives me crazy because you're right.
TMT Radio.
I just was calling to give you my 2 cents.
TMT Radio. Live.
Hi, welcome back to Sky Dragon Slaying, and we're talking to psychologist Elsa Scheider. Just before the break, Joe Possmer, you were talking to us about the issue with your civil rights being impeded by your employer. Now, this is something we're moaning about, quite rightly, and you know what I'm finding is when the cases actually go to court, when the paperwork is filed in the court, justices are actually finding in the plaintiff's favor. In other words, if you're a complainant like yourself, you're finding that the courts are sympathetic. Now, most people don't like going to court. Going to court is a very traumatic experience, and I know that it's expensive. You know, it's something that most people want to avoid at all costs. But I think it's kind of the process we have to go through, because until enough of people are in the system fighting this, the system won't collapse. And obviously, you know, we all know that courts are stretched anyway, and if enough of us do react, then things will happen in the same way as if we protest, go on the streets. So it's a case of being active in the best way we can as a community. And I'm afraid a lot of people, the people we call the sheeple, they're not really active, are they? They're not the kind of people who want to get up and make a song and dance. And one of the reasons I think is apathy, because of the voting system. And being topical here, we've got an interesting case now with the recent film, the 2000 Mules documentary, that was exposing corruption in the 2020 election in America, where it appears to be a very strong case that Donald Trump had the election stolen from him. So Elsa, I believe you've watched that. You've had a good experience watching that. You've enjoyed watching that particular film.
I chose to watch the online premiere along with 80,000 people, and it was sold out. And what I want to say, I like interviewing people, but I also am a question person. So I want to know what's going on. How much was that election stolen? What are the facts? How are the judges deciding one way or another? Because right from the beginning, by the way, it seemed really evident that election was stolen. But one judge after another wouldn't do it, or the was passed from one place to another, and it was supposed to be absolute proof. And so now this new thing came out saying, you want absolute proof? We have it. We have the cell phone data of over 2,000 people who were doing drop-offs, stuffing mailboxes. And then we have video footage of these people, not all of them, because some states broke the law and didn't install video cameras. But of the states that installed the cameras, we can see the same individual going drop-off box to drop-off, at least 10 drop-off boxes, and we can ping them, no video, going to pick it up, you know, at a certain pickup point. So we have it. So yes, I really chose to do that because one of the things I think is, yes, there are all the little tiny victories, and there can also be breakthrough points. So for example, I think all of us know that somebody very, very rich has offered to buy a social media company, and it has been accepted, and now he's going, oh, I think about half of the supposed people are bots, etc. Yeah. I am fascinated by major turning point events. Like, I'd love, in fact, that this show ends up being something that can help create such turning points events by the things that we help expose. So yeah. 2,000 mules, fantastic. 80,000 people. And if just, and it, by the way, it's also in theaters across North America. And if each of us just gets 10 people to see it, that's several million people watching that film. Mm. It's not the most riveting movie for the first half hour because, you know, it's slow intro, documentary and all that. And then it gives those facts. It shows what they saw. So it is truly dynamite. And then it gives the stats that if these people only dropped off 5 ballots per mailbox, and of course, you know, they were not going to do them half for Trump and half for Biden, that would have been enough to change the election in 5 and all key states, and Trump would have won. And if they had, you know, let's say they were dropping off 10 ballots per, you know, there would have been an absolute landslide for Trump. So
the clarification, riveting the 2,000 mules. Yeah, the 2,000 mm-hmm. mules, I mean, these are ballot stuffers in, I believe, the 6 swing states. Five swing states, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and like a lot of elections, like recently in the French election, you know, these are fine margins, aren't they? The balance of who wins and who loses is very finely balanced. And I think people don't really appreciate the fact that our apathy as a society generally to the democratic process is the root of the problem. They'd like us to be apathetic because apathy breeds, you know, contentment, so-called contentment. And, you know, the great and the good amongst us, they're not going to get out there and bang the drum on our behalf unless we're going to go behind them, you know, because it's one of those things, you know, it's all about getting together en masse. You have to get en masse to get any reaction. Mm-hmm.
I don't believe a big problem is apathy, because the mind numbed, it's not that they're apathetic. They believe there has been no fraud. I asked somebody who's a very nice, kind person. He's been totally awake until this and mind numbed about this. And he went back with, oh, they couldn't tell the signal. These signals were all messed up. I mean, you couldn't tell one person from another. Now, this is not an idiot. He knows that every cell is individually tracked. He knows that you get only the messages that are sent to your cell phone. You can be in an elevator with another 20 people packed in. It goes to your ping. So he knows this is absurd. But no, I don't think he's apathetic. He is adamant that, my God, these Republicans have sour grapes. So I believe much more than apathy, we are dealing with brain wreck people. I don't know about the two Joes, if you were with me or not.
Well, it's willful ignorance. Yeah, certainly brainwashing, willful ignorance. They probably watch CNN all day. They're fully programmed. Mm-hmm. They're almost mm-hmm. unconscious, these people. They're basically unconscious. They're not really there when you talk to people like that. Like, we have to understand that most people are these people. They're not actually there as people like you would expect. There's something mm-hmm. else is there, but it's not a conscious human.
Well, there is. Like this person I'm thinking of, there's a large conscious part. And then there is this moron or this brain, I call it brain wreck, this crowd formation. There's a barrier in there. And I, with this thing, I ended up going, sending a series of emails to him. By the way, this has been a friend of 20 years standing. He saw Islam as I did. He saw climate change as I did. He saw so many things. So it is surprising. And yes, what happened is that, you know, for 2 months he was at home, and for 2 months he and his wife watched a lot of TV. This wasn't his usual pattern in life. And during that time, that part of his brain that was on this really got numbed. And there was somebody else I was talking to, organic farmer, all into all these wonderful organic, etc. And he and his wife wouldn't let me in the house unless I wore a mask. So I went, nah, I'm not going in. And so they were, they're aware of so many other things that this is what gets me, that these are not just morons and sheeples about other things. It's like somebody gave them a partial lobotomy.
Yeah, I take your point. I mean, all of us who have family members, I mean, I have a brother who's a very successful engineer. My son's a physicist, and my daughter's a psychologist. And yet they have a different view to me on these things. And as you say, it's a disconnect. There's something in the brain. The great power of the media is phenomenal. I mean, I think, speaking as a Brit, you know, in the UK, I've grown up with this reverence for the BBC. All my life, I've felt that, the wonderful BBC, they were fountain of truth. And, you know, that was a lie that it took me maybe 35, 40 years to figure out. You know, it's I think it takes time, doesn't it? It's a lot of these things take time, a lot of time. It's not something you can just switch on or off.
That's why I didn't write this person off. That's why I kept in touch. And I also know this is, in so many ways, he's been such a moral person. He was, you know, long ago, he was anti-racist and he was civil rights and obviously, you know, feminist and all of these things. So he was all on the correct side, and this thing captured him. Mm. So some people have been captured long ago, and yes, they may be apathetic or just, you know, sheeple, etc. I'm interested in whom can we reach? How can we wake them up? Will it be deaths that do it? And also, of course, they're not paying any more attention to the virus. Now it's like Ukraine. I forget what else it is. You know, so they're, oh my God. So, you know, so I want to throw in another question to everybody because it's been troubling me. So I'll throw it out to everybody. We live in something that's supposedly a democracy. Now, even when we can get the votes strongly for whatever we want, whatever we believe, the truth, even when they don't miscount with the machines, there's no election fraud. But then the other thing is, a lot of the time, like the Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau got elected on a minority, and chances are he actually got a minority election. My question is, if the sheeple thing is strong, what do we do if we lose the potential for majority? Like, what do we do? Because then you cannot have a democracy. Like, a democracy will go against us. So I'd love it to, what are your answers?
I can comment a little bit about that. I mean, and here we are in this world and we accept democracy as a given. But throughout history, beginning with Plato and you know, pretty much any well-known philosopher of intelligence who's ever thought about it, they've always condemned democracy upon an analysis of its whole idea. Democracy is not really a valid system of government. Never turns out as a valid system of government. What happens in democracy? You have stupid people voting for what they're paid to believe. And the rich people who are in control pay for the services of the TV and the advertising. And then, you know, 50% of people are dumber than average. And probably 80%, as we've seen with this pandemic, 95% of people are susceptible to brainwashing, you know. And so that's, you know, the 45% of the people that are above average intelligence are still able to brainwash this, you know, as Elsa points out this curious case of how people are otherwise seemingly intelligent, yet can be brainwashed on certain topics, which is so perplexing. So in any case, we end up with a system where basically 85%, 90%, 95% of people are simply being told what to vote for by rich interests. Democracy has never been a valid system of government. It's actually always been pointed out. I mean, this is the joke. It's always been pointed out as the worst possible form of government that you could possibly ever conceive. And now we have a world, and this wasn't even the government that the USA was supposed to be founded upon. The USA was never supposed to be a full franchise democracy where everybody gets to vote. You know, the whole idea of giving everybody the vote is absurd. It's really quite absurd.
Yeah, and Joe Olson, you would tell us quite clearly that America is not a democracy. It's a constitutional republic, isn't it, Joe?
Absolutely.
Well, that was the theory, but it's not. It's been very easy to hijack. Getting back to the voting thing, there was two components on this, and probably equal share of vote fraud on each side. One is the electronic voting, and anybody that's interested in that, there's a great 20-minute long video at blackboxvoting.org, and it's called Fraction Magic: The Way the Electronic Voting Machines. And there's 8 different companies in the world that manufacture electronic voting machines, and they're all owned by the same joint ownership directors, and they also all use Optech software, which is owned by Dominion. So bottom line is, we've had the capability for the ruling elite to electronically manipulate elections, which is pretty certain what they've done in most of the Western countries. And then because they only can swing that about 15 or 20% and make it believable, they needed something else. And so they threw the COVID in. One of the vectors for employing the COVID against the United States was that they could say, well, it's too dangerous to vote in person, so everybody's got to vote by mail. And that's an absolute prescription for fraud, which is easily proven in the 2000 Mules movie, which, by the way, I attended my first True the Vote meeting in January of 2011. And I've had a number of conversations directly in person with Kathleen Engelbreit. And I've also had conversations with Dinesh D'Souza in person. So I'm a hands-on individual. I just got out of a conference, Crimes Against Humanity tour, where I got to hear Judy Makovich, got a copy of her book, Plague of Corruption. Got to hear Reiner Fulmich talking about his legal actions worldwide. Dr. Richard Fleming, who is got an absolute 100% slam dunk evidence for grand juries anywhere in the United States. There's over 3,000 counties where charges can be brought, and he's got the entire thing. He got his PhD in physics when he was 18 years old, got his medical license, and then decided he had some spare time, so he went back and got a law license. Guy's absolutely incredible. And then the other speaker was Patrick Woods, author of a book called Technocracy Rising. And this is the organization method that these people have been using against Western societies for the last 100 years when they overthrew the Bolsheviks. Matter of fact, probably goes back 200 years. They were the ones that were behind the French Revolution from a philosophical standpoint. But yeah, we've been battling an element of very powerful shadow people that enjoy destroying the planet, enjoy, you know, other people's pain and suffering. It's unfortunate, but that's what we have to recognize, and that's what we have to quickly resolve before they end up having an Armageddon for all of us.
I want to bring back 2,000 Mules for just a moment. Why is it special is my question. And I know all the other stuff, the fractional blah, blah. It's harder to prove that in court. So I totally accept that. And I saw absolute proof from the pillow guy. But this here tracks these people and can trace these people and can trace the drop up. So it could be something that cracks the whole thing, because at the end of it, there were the questions in the audience. So when are charges going to be laid? This means change it. It isn't just theoretical. And there what you see is the incredible corruption throughout the system. And so my question keeps being, okay, so what do I do? What's the best thing for all of us to do? And yes, what you did, Joe, was fabulous. You went and you attended, you grouped together with a lot of people who are doing stuff, and you learned more yourself, and you also supported them, and they're all fantastic people.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
Former President Donald Trump has made many wise choices in endorsing Republican candidates for the midterm elections. For the primary elections to date, only one of Trump's 59 endorsed candidates has lost, indicating that American voters generally agree with his judgment. Trump's endorsement of Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massie last Tuesday is particularly important for this week's primary election to ensure Massie has a resounding win. Although Trump has previously denounced Massie, this turnaround is an endorsement for one of America's most admirable congressmen. Massie has fought hard against medical tyranny, passionately opposing vaccine and mask mandates. He has fought for 9/11 truth. He has opposed the military-industrial complex in profiting from senseless wars. Importantly, he opposes most of his Republican colleagues for meddling in the Ukrainian conflict and risking world war. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Mask mandates don't work.
No.
We mandate that the truth be told.
Let's do it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Right, Joe Posner, you posed the question. We've got to come up with an answer. Give us the question again, Joe.
Well, just the whole idea is we've been spending years, exposing things. And the pillow guy was exposing what happened in the election. We've been exposing things with what's going on with climate alarm. You know, just atrocious levels of fraud across, you know, all these different instances. And we may be getting to the point. I did see a meme the other day. The meme was, a cartoon character called the Exposer, right? Or the Exposer. Right. And so the exposer spends his life exposing all this fraud, but nothing happens because ultimately we're saying to these evil people, look, we exposed you. But does that mean that the evil person is going to hand over their power? I mean, that's why they have power is what we've exposed them. Sure, we've exposed it. That's how they gain their power. But that's the power that they now have. Just because we expose it doesn't mean that they're going to give it up or change their ways. And so we're almost at a situation like that. We keep on exploring.
I'd love to answer that.
Nothing happens. Yes, great.
Awesome.
Okay, so we are exposing. Do you know how long it took to get women to vote? 70 years. So please, we've been doing some exposing. It's like, okay, let's give up now or it's not going to work. That's not my position. In fact, my position is that 2 years ago, there is so much I didn't know, and I'm somebody with lifelong interest. I've never cared about economics. Oh, whoops, that was a problem. I've had to learn about like the creature from Jekyll Island and the whole banking system. And I've paid attention to climate and Islam, etc. But the overall thing, what's going on, I have just been learning. If you listen to Reiner Fulmick, he has just been learning. Most of us have just been learning. How major is this whole fraudulent thing, the whole thing that's going on? It's humongous, and most of us are still in the process of learning. So I would not in any way say, oh my God, I've been at it for a while, or for years, in my case, years and years. And in fact, one of the things I've learned when I started in 2006, becoming, you know, I was aware of Islam due to the cartoon and millions marching and murdering people and burning embassies. And it got pointed out to me, Islam is not a religion of peace. And I started getting interested. I thought it just needs to be exposed. And I had to learn about the system that's blocking the exposure and know that it wasn't just the infiltration by Islamic people. Then I had to learn about communist infiltration from people like the brilliant Diana West, American Betrayal. So I have just been learning and learning. And so what I believe we're getting to the point where more and more has to be done. That's why I'm fascinated by moves like the Twitter buyer Elon Musk. I do know the name. So I am definitely several gazillion miles away from giving up or saying we've been exposing. It doesn't work.
Yeah, I think a lot of us who are pretty awake, we've been awake for years, and we're waiting for other people to catch up, aren't we? And it's frustrating because you look around you and you're thinking, what more do you need to have revealed to you? And my frustration in the current war in Ukraine, I'm finding it unbelievable that people can't see, you know, past the stupid narrative that, you know, is Zelensky good, Putin bad? You know, it's nonsense. And you know, those of us who've been following it know that, you know, Ukraine is actually a hotbed of international corruption. It's a hotbed of corruption, mm-hmm. you know, the money laundering recently. I mean, the, you know, Congress has passed an amazing bill that's going to send over, I think in the end, the Congress gave Biden more than he asked for. He wanted 40 billion, but I think he's going to get north of 52, 53 billion. And that money doesn't go to help anybody mm-hmm. in Ukraine.
It's incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, and these politicians, they seem to be a law unto themselves. I mean, I'm shocked to hear again this week that Boris Johnson in the UK is going to be hit with another fine for having a party during lockdown. They are above the law. They don't seem to care. And like Joe Posthumus saying, you know, they've been exposed, but who's holding them accountable? You know, you have to act. You have to be proactive. You have to get out there. You have to bang on doors. You have to get in the streets. You have to, you know, sometimes you have to be perhaps more physical than you want to be. I mean, I know in Iceland, when they had the banking crisis in 2008, they physically ejected the parliamentarians from the Icelandic parliament. They just threw them out. So it could get to that kind of extreme way of doing things. Joe Olson, I mean, you're in, you know, one of the most active states in Texas, where people are known to get to stand their ground and get up and bang the drum and so forth. Are you getting a feeling that that's going to happen?
Well, you know, it's kind of like, what are we going to get in the way of voting solutions? Because we end up having two parties that are actually a uniparty, and they enjoy having a corrupt voting system because they get to pick their candidate in the primary, and then they keep a 49-51 split with the other party so that nothing really changes. They just had an election down in Australia. The very unpopular mm-hmm. Scott Morrison, which we'll call ScoMo, just conceded to Antonio Albanese, who is with the Labor Party and is a heavy greenie. So now they're going to switch from wearing a mask and being COVID lockdown to where you can only ride your bicycle one day a week because, you know, you might be exhaling too much carbon dioxide. It's just the same thing down there. Your bicycle one day a week because, you know, you might be exhaling too much carbon dioxide. It's just the same thing down there. And certainly it's the same thing with the Whigs and the Tories and the Liberals and the Greens in England and in Germany. They've got the whole system rigged worldwide. And somehow we need to figure out how to get legitimate candidates and legitimate debate topics and educate the people. And that's a real uphill battle when they own all the educational system and they own the government with its a massive amount of authority, and they own the news media. So we're doing the best we can with our little corner of the media. But the upside is that every red pill is permanent. You know, every epiphany mm-hmm. is permanent. You wake up and it's hard for them to put you back in that hypnotic confirmation bias mm-hmm. state that they've had everybody in for years.
Yeah, and I know
I agree General with Michael you, Fitt. Joe.
Can I just add that, you know, one person that I was following for quite a while who was totally pilloried by the extreme left was General Michael Flynn, who was Donald Trump's pick for defense secretary. And he never got a chance. He was castigated and had the book thrown at him, legal book thrown at him, and spent the entire duration of Trump's presidency fighting in court. He obviously was pardoned by Trump and came out and said, well, you know, you have to be proactive in local mm-hmm. politics. You know, he's adamant that and that's with the backdrop of the rigged election. So, you know, how do you motivate people knowing that that has not yet been resolved? You know, the 2000 mules issue, we're still in the exposing process, aren't we? We're revealing the truth, and yet time is ticking on. You know, Joe Biden's been in office for 2 years, and you know, the world is heading for World War III. You know, how can you save the political system? And Joe Posner has a point. Democracy, you know, is not possibly the future if it's being done this way. And I do lament the fact that there are no higher standards for voting. You know, I think that anybody can vote, and that forever you get politicians wanting to reduce the age of voting, the age of majority. And currently in the UK here, it's 18, but they're talking about reducing it to 16. You know, well, what point do they start giving it to children, you know, in school?
Along with sex ed, age 5.
Yeah, I know. You can change your gender, but you can't go out and vote. You can't, you know, it's amazing that then, I mean, you've got a lot to say on these issues, Elsa. I know you have.
Yeah. Well, what I like doing is I like going, what can you do? People like Reiner Fulmich say we need to set up an alternate system. Okay, so there's some people putting their energy into that. Things that give me satisfaction are individual changes that I can see that I have made. For example, I showed a neighbor who's over 80 the film about all these athletes dropping dead, 400 of them, poof, poof, poof. Like it was a little 2-minute film, something or other. And he went, oh, I think I'm not going to have my booster.
Mm.
Right. Because it went through to him. And then I invited people over to watch 2000 Mules with me. Oh, there is election fraud. The film is that convincing. So I know that the whole situation may be awful. But one of the things that keeps me going, like also as it was with teaching, is that you make an impact here. I also want to go and do things like what about local politics? What about this radio show, which is part of that whole red pilling thing? Mm. And by the way, I think this thing about democracy, I don't want to write it off that fast, because ideally we need to have an educated population. Now, the people who don't like democracy have worked on dumbing down people. So you make people more stupid so they're more malleable. And we haven't defended the education system to encourage people to be able to think. So I don't know exactly what we're going to head. I do know that Churchill said, I think it was Churchill, democracy is absolutely terrible until you consider everything else.
Yeah, that's a good comment. I mean, I do agree. I don't like being pessimistic. In fact, I'm very optimistic. And I think part of the optimism, and I get told I'm a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist, but I do feel that those who follow the Q movement, I mean, they are not wrong, are they? They've been hounded and ridiculed for 2 years or more, since 2017, I believe. The Q post, the Q drop, the breadcrumb thing was happening in 2017. Future proves past. Donald Trump was meant to be the savior. And sure enough, I think it was about a week ago, Donald Trump retweeted an image of himself when Biden said he was the great MAGA king. And one of the images Donald Trump retweeted was a picture of Donald Trump with a Q, letter Q behind him. So even Donald Trump is now coming forward to kind of acknowledge the Q phenomenon as something that we should consider as being more than just a LARP, you know, live action role play. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that maybe there's something to this?
I'm not one for that, but I am for you have to find your route. And it's the worst thing is if I dictate to you or you dictate to me. You must love Q, Elsa. I remember listening to Q for the one and only time after the election fraud, or what really seemed like an election fraud. And I remember Simon Banks going, Trump is being spirited from one underground place to another, et cetera. And then I saw a video of Trump at the southern border talking, and I went, doesn't sound like he's spirited. And I went, there may be things to cue. It's not my route, but I am not. But I think that we need to go for our truth. Like over the last year, I have taken a lot of time off, and I've come back with a site, and I'm going to do more interviews, etc. We need to say we're in it for the long haul. If we're just running, we are going to get burned out and pessimistic and, oh, we've tried so long and the hell with it. So I've taken some time out. What do I really want to put my energy into? Because that way, chances are I'll be able to do way more than if I'm running on empty. So that is my thing about listen to yourself and don't lose sight of the big picture, which is that I am aiming for worldwide human rights and, you know, my childhood dream. So does that make sense that I don't know what the right answer is about Q, but I do know that the right answer is not for me to dictate to you?
No. I think the other thing threaded through the whole Q thing was the idea of spirituality. And I think that's something a lot of people caught up with. They felt that the fact that we've lost spirituality was something we should address. And if you don't agree, you know, if you don't agree with spirituality.
No, I totally agree with you. And I, from Rainer Fulmich, he says we need to go there. And what I think this whole, the people against us or the beings or creatures or Satanists or whatever, or Vulcanists against us, they want us angry, afraid, and hating, because that they feed off that energy. They feed off the way panic makes it hard for us to think. Being spiritual is also being creative, which means letting in ideas from the cosmos, which means left-right brain integration and creative solutions and stuff like that. So I am totally in favor of spirituality. And for some people, it's organized religion. For many people, it's not organized religion, but I say, whatever is right for you, make the time for it. This, to me, that may be what swings us to victory. Does that make sense to everyone?
It does to me, yeah. I mean, Joe, what do you think?
Well, John Adams said our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the governing of any other. So, yeah. Absolutely. And religion doesn't mean you have to go to an organized church and you know, read out of an organized book. It just means that you have to be in touch with the greater things that human beings can be, what consciousness bestowed on us that other creatures on this planet don't seem to have. Not that we're morally superior because of that, but we have an obligation because of that to be the best stewards on this planet, and that includes being the best to each other. And the people that are in charge are not being the best to the other people on the planet. And so that's where we need to direct our energy, is to remove them from power. And there's a great website called gab.com, where they are setting up parallel society, and they're doing parallel everything. They advocate homeschooling. They've got a lot of homeschooling resources available. They advocate local farming and sustainable farming, which is not the anti-hydrocarbon farming, but it's definitely farming where you can use things with natural methods. And, you know, companies that are not invested in the current system. And so if you took your money out of your 401k, that's less money that Vanguard and BlackRock and State Street can use to bully corporations into doing things that are not even in the best interest of the corporations, which is what they are doing. They're ganging up on our various large corporations, which are already vulnerable to that, and saying, because we control this, you know, 10% of the shares each, and there's three of us, so we control 30% of your shares. If you don't, you know, make SLBGT the number one theme in your company and paint your company logo in rainbows, then we're going to boycott your company. We're going to overthrow your board of directors. And that's the problem that we have right now. We have a very small number of people who've been able to monopolize enough power that they are able to leverage themselves far beyond what they deserve in the way of power. That's what needs to be undone.
Yeah, I think we also needs to show that
we're gonna
these
have
people
to take a,
are
we're
evil.
We're going to have to take a break, Elsa. We're going to take a break
can
now.
Start,
we'll
can we start
right
on
back after
there
these.
Is evil going on? I'd love to go there.